attacks have targeted numerous cities, including Baltimore and Atlanta, over the past year. Some attacks also targeted Georgia's state court system, the European Union, and 7 hospitals in Australia. A few of the targeted cities have paid the ransom, which so far has totaled more than $1 million.
That's our Wendy King, and for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you.
It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
On today's program, I'll be talking about marketing your small business the easy way. I'll have 5 easy ways to save $100 a month. I'll discuss how to build an emergency fund. And I'll continue my discussion on retirement and why one financial planner says most Americans will run out of money. And I'll ask you to check if your business is having a brand identity crisis. It's Thursday, October 3rd, 2019, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
Taking care of business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, we check the weather. It's currently 56 degrees at 12:05. The forecast shows that for today, it'll be cloudy with periods of light rain, a high of 58 and a low of 55 degrees. For tomorrow, it's going to be sunny with a high of 64 and a low of 40. For Saturday, it'll be sunny with a high of 62 and a low of 46. And for Sunday, it's going to be cloudy with a high of 72 degrees and a low of 63. So the cooler temperatures are starting to move in. Time to get that extra blanket out. And as the sun sets a little earlier every night, time to get ready for winter. The current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently down 29.94 to 26,018.68. The NASDAQ up 22.73 to 7807.02. S&P 500 is up 3.28 to 2890.89. Oil is down 53 cents to $52.11 per barrel. And gold is up $6 to $1,513.90 an ounce. All right. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano. So glad you could join me on the program today. It is Taking Care of Business. It's Thursday. It's a little after noon o'clock, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for another edition of Taking Care of Business. And so glad we can get together as we do every week at this time. And next week is going to be a little special as we celebrate 8 years on the air with Taking Care of Business. And 8 years for me and 8 years for Hunterdon Chamber Radio. And glad that we can get together, discuss issues affecting your business, my business, and everybody else's business. And hopefully come up with solutions to problems that you may be having in your business. And a lot of times I'll get emails from people, I'll get text messages from folks, and they'll say, you know, I'm having this problem. I need to address this. I need to address that. And that's what this program is all about, is trying to find the solutions for that. Sometimes the answer is very easy. The execution may be hard. And other times it's going to take a little bit more research to find the right answer for you. But at this time of the show, it's time for our business quote of the week, brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. And I'll use quotes from celebrities. I'll use quotes from actors, sports figures, political figures, religious leaders, whoever I can that I think may motivate you. This one was pretty telling and am working with a woman right now, started out with a very successful business, has seen it slowly decline, and now she's at that precipice, that point where it's either we fix it or we close it. And so she said there's times when she has a hard time just waking up in the morning and realizing she's got to go in to her business and do it again. And when I saw this quote, I had to think of her. She says, it says, sometimes you climb out of bed in the morning and think, I'm not going to make it. But you laugh inside, remembering all the times you felt that way before. That comes to us from Charles Bukowski. So have you ever felt like that in your business? Have you ever woken up with that sense of dread, like, oh, I've got to go back in there today. How's it going to be different from tomorrow? Sometimes you dread paying bills, paying payroll or something like that. But you know you have to get in there because your customers are relying on you, your employees are relying on you, and you just get up and go. And that's what I think this quote sums up, because he says, sometimes you climb out of bed in the morning and think, I'm not going to make it. But you laugh inside, remembering all the times you felt that way before. And it's true, because you'll get through it. And then sometimes it does take a little bit more effort. Sometimes you've got to break the business down to the ridiculous. I always tell people, think like a rookie. When you first started out in your business, what was it that got you out of bed every morning? What made you turn that key and open the door and get started? And that's what I want you to be thinking about. Even if you're jaded, if you're 10 years in, 12 years in, 14 years in, and you're like, you know, is this all there is? Or as the one album by Jody Messina used to be titled, I shaved my legs for this. Yeah, you did. So get up and go. Your people are depending on you. If you're listening to the program right now, we'd like you to, you're probably listening on a computer, smartphone, tablet, or something, and we'd like you to open up another URL to your Facebook page and then search and find Taking Care of Business with Jim Gonneau. Like and follow that page. You'll get updates midweek on anything that's important to business that I think might have an interest to you. And hopefully, you know, any updates that apply, you know, towards your business will help you in your business and help you overcome any obstacles you may be currently facing. Today's program, and I've gotten a lot of calls this week pertaining to money. And it's, Jim, I don't have enough of a cash reserve. Jim, I don't have, you know, you keep saying that we should have 2 or 3 months built up. I don't have that. How do I get that? So how do you build an emergency fund? Now, this is a little different than just having operating capital. I want you to think about everything that's happening in the country right now, not politically, but scientifically, if you will. We've had major floods in Houston, 40 inches of rain in one day. We've had 4 feet of snow in Montana. We have wildfires in California, earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes. So when you're talking about an emergency fund, this is the money you're going to have on the side ready to go should an emergency strike. Now, when an emergency hits, a financial safety net has you covered. Now, financial emergencies happen, whether it's your job, your car, your house or apartment, child or pet. Something at some point is going to cost you above and beyond your normal expenses. Yet Bankrate's June 2018 Financial Security Index survey revealed that 34% of American households had a major unexpected expense in 2017, with only 39% able to cover it with $1,000 in savings. Now, this aligns with the Federal Reserve report that notes 44% of respondents could not cover an unexpected $400 emergency expense or would rely on borrowing or selling something to do so. The need for emergency savings isn't limited to one group of people. It spans across income levels. 27% of the lowest income households have savings for at least 3 months of expenses. About 25% of the highest earning households either have no emergency savings or for less than 3 months of expenses. So now is the time to start building your emergency fund right away. Here are the four steps that they recommend. First, decide how much you're going to need. Now, financial advisors suggest an emergency savings fund that can cover at least 3 to 6 months of living expenses. But keep in mind your type of employment. If you're self-employed and your income fluctuates, or if you're retired and more of your money is invested in stocks and bonds, increasing the amount in your emergency fund may make sense. You want to draw up a financial plan or budget. Strategize a way to set aside money for emergencies that keeps it separate from other savings or retirement or college funds. This will help you avoid the need to borrow money or tap into other funds that could have withdrawal fees or penalties. keep it out of your immediate reach, and spending temptations by not tying your funds to a debit card. Choose the right bank and account type. Ensure steady growth for your savings with an account at an online-only bank. Now, while separate from your everyday accounts, it's easy to access your funds should you need them. Interest rates on high-yield savings or short-term CDs tend to be significantly higher than the national average. Plus, no or low account or maintenance fees, low minimum opening balance requirements, and daily compounding can simplify and maximize your savings potential. And you want to set up automatic deposits. Move money from a checking account to your savings account without having to think twice. With automatic deposits, you pay yourself first, and you won't have a chance to forget to make a deposit or use that money for another purchase. And you want to save for the unexpected and de-stress. Now, with your emergency savings foundation built, your financial stress should start to melt away. Start with step one today, and you'll have fewer worries when life's unexpected challenges hit. From job loss to medical expenses, confront the unexpected by learning more about building your emergency savings. So whether this is for your household or for your business doesn't really matter. 3 to 6 months. So if you were to say that your business expenses, let's say, were, I'm just going to throw numbers, $15,000 a month. These are your expense, payroll, rent, things like that. That would mean that 3 to 6 months, you would need somewhere between $45,000 and $90,000 in reserve to cover those emergencies. Probably you won't need that much. But these are the numbers. This is where I want your head thinking. And so many businesses run out of one checking account. Everything comes in, goes out of the same pool. But nothing is ever put away. And when we had Mike McCallowitz on the program to talk about the Profit First program, a book I highly recommend reading, it summed up very quickly and succinctly how it was so easy to rob from Peter to pay Paul. But with Profit First, where you're distributing all that income different ways, towards rent, towards equipment, towards payroll, towards taxes, the money is always there. So this is what I want you to be thinking about. Start putting money away so that it's there when you need it. And there should also be a fund, and this is one that you could tap into if you had to. Let's call it the wildfire fund or the hurricane fund. We all had problems when Hurricane Sandy came. My showroom ceiling dropped out from the roof and fell onto the floor. It damaged product. It damaged my showroom. Yet I was back up and running in 4 hours. But not every business was that lucky. Just think of some of the businesses that were hit hard down at the shore. Put money away in that hurricane fund, in that wildfire fund, so that if you suddenly found your business was damaged, you had to move, you had to buy new computers, buy new inventory, something like that, there's where that money would come from. It takes time to build these up, these accounts, but it's worth it in the long run. And in the end, if you never use them and you retire or you want to declare a bonus, that's where you can take it from. So be thinking about that. Don't just run your business out of one checking account, because it's a good way to set yourself up for failure down the road if there's no money there to pay people. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We'll be right back after this.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
We'll be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gannot. So glad you could join me this afternoon. And today, you know, we're talking money a little bit because I'm getting a lot of phone calls from business owners that are afraid the next recession is coming and that they're not prepared for it. They don't want to hurt like they did back in 2008, 2009. What are we going to do about that? How do we put money away? So I found this story, and it's really scary. And I talk to people, and I'll ask them point blank, how much money do you have saved for retirement? And some people will say, I have $25,000, I have $100,000, I'm set, I have a great 401k, I've got, you know, $1 million, $2 million in there. Those are the people I don't worry about. It's the people who have no money saved or not enough money saved, and $25,000 isn't going to cover retirement. Let's put it that way. $100,000 probably wouldn't cover retirement in today's day and age. So a retirement expert has said that 40% of folks are going to literally run out of money during retirement. I don't know if you've seen them. I have in various businesses. Sometimes it's at ShopRite. Sometimes it's at the Home Depot or Lowe's or something like that. But I feel bad when I see an 80-year-old man or an 80-year-old woman bagging groceries, doing the checkout line, collecting carts at the cart corral at Home Depot or something like that. Maybe they want to be working, but oftentimes it's because they have to be working. Now, it's estimated that a good chunk of Americans are going to outlive their savings if the retirement landscape doesn't change in the country. One expert has predicted recently on Yahoo Finance, and that's Jason Grumet. He's the founder of the Bipartisan Policy Center, and he has high hopes for pending legislation in Congress that expands access to workplace retirement accounts. He says, we think there's a real opportunity here. It's really critical because we think about 40% of folks are going to literally run out of money in their retirement, he told On the Move. And the current trajectory is likely to get worse, not better. Now, this is for people who may feel they have a good retirement nest egg put away. But if they say you're going to run out, at what point? Now, he appeared on the Yahoo Finance's ongoing partnership with the Funding Our Future campaign, a group of organizations advocating for increased retirement security for Americans. His comments echo the dismal outlook that Americans themselves have about their retirement prospects. Half of U.S. adults worry about running out of money in retirement. According to the most recent financial capability study from the FINRA Foundation, a nonprofit dedicated to financial education, an issue that is really affecting tens of millions of Americans. Only 58% of Americans have any retirement account, either through their employer or an individual one, the FINRA Foundation found. And that figure has hardly budged in the last decade. About 45 million working Americans don't have access to a retirement plan through their employers, Grumet noted, and that 30 million of those Americans would sign up if they were offered one. The legislation called the SECURE Act would make it simpler and cheaper for small businesses to offer workplace retirement plans to their employees. It increases access for part-time workers, provides tax incentives to small employers, and makes it easier to create automatic enrollments. The bill is currently on a procedural hold in the Senate, but Grumet expects it to pass once it moves forward. Now, while its passage is a step in the right direction, Grumet acknowledged that it doesn't address the future funding issue with Social Security benefits, which currently make up about a third of older Americans' income. The growing imbalance between the number of working adults funding the social program and the number of seniors tapping it will create a funding shortage in about 15 years, he said, slicing benefits for 20%. The SECURE Act is a first step in securing Americans' retirement, Grumet said. It's not the answer to our nation's retirement security, he added, but at least it gets the ball rolling towards an issue that is really affecting tens of millions of Americans. So let's just hit the pause button for a second. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you or your spouse have a savings plan for retirement, individual retirement account, a 401k, any other investments that you are going to be relying on to live on? And many people simply state no. I've used my savings to start a business. I've used my savings to pay for my children's college education. I use my savings for vacations. And they keep forgetting that the clock still ticks. And what happens is they get to that point where they want to retire. They've been working 35 or 40 years, and then they realize they can't stop. I don't care how old you are. First of all, if you have children in their 20s, get them into some form of savings or retirement account now. Take them to any brokerage firm. Take them to Edward Jones. Take them to Fidelity. Anywhere you want. Charles Schwab. I'm not going to promote one over another. And see who will work with them. Payroll deduction, something like that. I said it a few weeks ago on a show. I am indebted to the Chubb Group of Insurance Companies because when I first got started, and maybe I was 24, 25 at the time, we were all hustled down to this huge amphitheater, and there were probably 100, 150 new hires in the room. And a gentleman was there from, I think it was Vanguard Financial, and he was the one who got us all to sign up. And he told us flat out, he goes, I know you're young. You want cars, you want vacations, you want to buy a condo, because condos were the thing back in the 1980s. He goes, here's what I want you to do. You're still going to buy all of that. Now, what I want you to do is take 10% of your salary, which was the maximum contribution at the time, and squirrel that away. Your employer is going to match 5% of that, and that money will just continue to grow. I'm pretty confident I'm not going to run out of money in my retirement. 40% of Americans will. And another 44% have zero saved for the retirement. So again, let's get started early. Get your kids to save this money. It may mean that they forego a couple of Starbucks, extra fruity latte, mates, whatever they're called with pumpkin spice. Give that up and put that money away. And let it just grow for 30 or 40 years so that they're set. If you're in your 30s or 40s and haven't started your account, do it now. At least you'll have something. You may have to work just a little bit longer before you can afford to retire and before you can take Social Security, but at least you'll have something. If you're in your 50s, still not too late. Start somewhere, start something so that you have something other than just Social Security to live off of. Imagine working your whole life and having nothing to show for it. Now, maybe you have a house or something like that. You have a car that you lease or something, but you have no savings. What do you plan on doing when you retire? Or are you planning on working forever? So let's start savings now. I really want to focus on the young kids and make sure that they understand. It's not all about having the car, the apartment in Hoboken, you know, working in the city. Always start saving money. My youngest child, he's 22 years old. He now has an individual retirement account. He gets money from, he has another account for being a volunteer firefighter. Every time he goes on an active call, they're putting money into an account for him. He's applying, he's working through the state police to try to get a position there or with any other police department, and then there'll be that pension. So I have no worries that he'll be there. I just read an article this morning from a lady that was on the program about 2 years ago, and I'd like to have her come back. About the sandwich generation. This is a new term for me. I haven't heard this, but the sandwich generation is one, let's say my age, I'm 58, where we're helping our parents with their financial issues, and we're still helping our children with their financial issues. And so if your kids are still on your cell phone policy, if your kids are still on your car insurance policy, if your parents are having trouble meeting the bills, or maybe they forget to pay certain bills, you find yourself in the middle. You're the sandwich. And, you know, now you're taking care of your parents and their financial thing, making sure bills are paid, and making sure they have enough money. It's a hard conversation to have with your parents. But it's one that's necessary because you don't want them to fall into any kind of financial troubles. And if you have a little bit more control over their money, chances are they won't get caught in any kind of a scam. And then with the kids, you have to have a conversation with them and find out what is their spending and what is their income and how do they need to align themselves? Because at some point, they've got to come off your insurance policies, and they've got to come off your cell phone policies, and they got to grow up and be adults. So that you're not caught in the middle giving money out to two other entities and leaving none for yourself. So we're going to have her – we'll get her back on the program. She just wrote a new book. She's a financial planner in I believe, Somerville. And we'll get her back on the program so that at least we can talk about that and other issues affecting your finances. But when it comes to your business, when it comes to yourself, don't work forever and then have nothing to show for it. Start saving now and make sure – and I'm talking long-term savings here. You know, can you cover – we've had two stories now back-to-back. Can you cover the emergency if it happens, and then can you cover your retirement when you get to that point? I don't know how much longer I want to work or how much longer I'm going to work or my wife, but at some point I'm going to want to stop. And when I do, I want to make sure that everything is paid for and covered and that I can live that way for another 20 or 30 years. So hopefully that money will be there and I won't be pushing carts at the Home Depot. When we come back, we're going to talk about your business and does it have a brand identity crisis? You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump will be heading to Florida shortly, where he'll be unveiling a Medicare plan today that he'll enact with an executive order. It's an answer to the Democrats' Medicare for All proposals. Here's Health and Human Services Chief Alex Azar.
A lot of the proposals for Medicare for All, what they would do is actually take Medicare Advantage away. They would outlaw private insurance, and this is what our seniors want. What the president's doing today is putting a stake in the ground, saying he's going to be the one defending and protecting Medicare for our seniors. He's going to be improving Medicare, and he's not going to let anyone touch their Medicare.
He spoke on the Fox Business Network. At least four people are dead after a knife attack in the courtyard of the Paris police headquarters today. At least one of the people killed was a cop. The suspect is identified as an administrative employee who'd been with the office for over two decades. He was shot and killed. This is USA Radio News.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-561-5716. That's 800-561-5716. Again, 800-561-5716.
5716.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gannot, the host of Taking Care of Business, and next week we will be celebrating 8 years on the air. So glad you could be joining me for those. Many of you have been with me the whole time, and I certainly appreciate that. And I really like when I get letters from people or emails from people telling me that, hey, it was a good show, I learned a lot today. So I really appreciate the feedback. And then again, if you ever have topics you want me to discuss or research, by all means, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com. I'll see what we can do about getting your concerns on the air. A brand identity crisis in your business. Are you having one? Now, if you don't feel like the dots are connecting with your messages, both internally and externally, well, you're not alone. When the primary goal of business is to generate sales, branding decisions are often pushed aside and seen as less essential to your day-to-day success. However, for long-term results and internal clarity, your brand is perhaps your most important asset, and it's something every executive should consciously consider. Stop the presses. I want to make sure you understand. When I talk about a brand, I'm not talking about a logo. I'm not talking about a tagline. It's more, and that goes with it, but it's also the culture. Okay, so as we move forward in this conversation, I want to make sure you understand it's the whole. It's not just the brick and mortar business. It's not the person at the front counter. It's not the person answering the phone. It's the entire organization. Now, branding is so much more than a business's logo, slogan, and website. There are a lot of elements at play when it comes to building and maintaining an organization's image. So here are four questions every business owner should ask themselves about their company. First, is your branding consistent? You need to determine the who, what, when, where, and why of your business and make sure that the answers to these questions are always consistent but also evolving as your business grows. Anyone who walks into a McDonald's can generally expect the same environment, same food, and the same level of service whether they're in New York or California. Franchises are designed that way on purpose. Not only does replicating branding decisions make scaling a business easier, it makes your company instantly recognizable to the public. Internally, consistency across a corporate office lends to a stronger sense of brand among your team and prevents brand disassociation. If you or your customers can't seem to recognize your business in the market, here are some tips to remedy your image. First, use a style guide that clearly illustrates the fonts and colors you use, as well as guidelines for logo placement. Use imagery with cohesive design and marketing messages. Your signage shouldn't look vastly different from your flyers, banners, or even emails and social media posts. Creating campaign familiarity across platforms helps build consumer comfort and reinforces your branding. Think about the AIDA funnel and what you're trying to accomplish. AIDA stands for awareness, interest, desire, and action. Note, if you need to help with streamlining your graphic designs, different companies like Displays to Go offers design services on many custom displays at an affordable industry rate. And consider where your marketing materials come from. Your displays can say a lot about your brand, and using similar fixtures across locations can give your business a distinctive look and feel. Imagine having a franchise system where every showroom looks different. There's no consistency in that brand. If you have people that are, if you're selling McDonald's, you're selling, you know, French fries, things like that, they're all going to be the same no matter where you go. But imagine that somebody, and this happened at a McDonald's, somebody tweaks the recipe, changes the oil or something like that. The flavor is going to be different. And there could be a potential backlash amongst your customers. Every now and then you hear the story of someone who owns a franchise and their wife makes a great dessert and they start selling it to create extra income. And then it's adopted by the entire franchise system. That's a rarity. The style guide that they mentioned there is critically important when it comes to your branding and your logo. When you pick a color, then there's the Pantone color chart. That's got to be consistent in everything. Press releases, and you should have an entire logo library that you can send out. If you're going to send out a press release, if you're going to do any printing, you should be the one controlling it. So many people come into my business, and when I ask them for a copy of their company logo, they have no idea where to get it. So now they have to pay me to digitize it and create the file for them, which I in turn will give to them so that they have it for future use, but it's not consistent, and it's not coming from the marketing department. A style guide to tell you what font to use, tell anybody doing any printing for you, what is the font style? I've seen many companies where it starts out with an Arial font, it goes to Verdana, it goes to Helvetica, it ends up at Times New Roman. No consistency in the brand. Next question to ask is, do you know your audience? Now, when defining your brand, it's just as crucial to know who your customers are as it is to know yourself. A good place to start is by surveying your customers. Do you know what they're interested in? What drew them to you? Do you notice any patterns in their demographics, behaviors, or hobbies? Understand what is important to your customers in the context of your relationship and use that information to craft more relevant ads and promotions. Also, define which types of consumers your business attracts. Creating detailed buyer personas helps marketers to create targeted campaigns towards consumers' various wants and needs. Remember, not all of your customers are the same, so when studying your audience, consider segmenting them by their pain points, attitudes, and motivations. What is your value proposition would be another good question to ask yourself. Now, you can think of a value proposition as sort of an elevator speech about your company. In 30 seconds or less, are you able to describe what your business does to a total stranger? When you think of value, You want to think about the intangible qualities of your organization that are different from your competitors. Any business can claim that they have high-quality products or exceptional services, but there are hopefully some things that are truly unique to you. It goes without saying that these qualities should be truthful. You don't want to try to spin a quality that every business has to make it sound unique or claim that you do something that you don't. Remember, your brand is the public's perception of you, not your own. One helpful branding exercise is to craft a brand fantasy. This exercise asks you to capture the way you want your customers to feel about your brand. Build a mood board with word and image associations and imagine how your brand would appear and behave if it were a living creature. When developing an online glasses brand, the co-founders of Warby Parker created a mood board with the blue-footed booby at the center, a quirky-looking bird with vibrant blue feet that are now part of the company's style guide. And then finally, what are your core values? Whether you realize it or not, values guide your every decision, both as business leaders and as people. Core values should include your passion, integrity, partnership, innovation, and growth. While it may seem arbitrary, having established core values can transform your company's culture and image from the inside out. Having a core ideology also keeps your decisions guided and focused. An excellent tool for determining your organization's core values is Carnegie Mellon University's Values Exercise, which asks you and your employees to choose from a list of values which resonate most with each of you individually. Try to find the commonalities among your team's responses to come up with a list of the top five values that you believe apply to your business as a whole. Finally, branding is about shaping the public's perception of your company. To create a brand that has integrity and is instantly recognizable, it's important that your messaging is consistent, both internally and externally. By asking important questions about your business's current marketing efforts, customers and stakeholders, key differentiators and values, you'll come closer to having clarity on your brand. This is gut check time for a lot of businesses. If you were to look at your company right now, if you were to look at your brand right now, what would it look like? Is it a mess? Is it a hodgepodge? Are there seven different logos? Are there four different colors when there should be two? Is there a tagline on some but not on others? Do you have those core values locked down company-wide, from top employees to lowest level? Does everybody share in those values? That all starts to become your brand identity. If people come to you and they say, I come here because the food is good at a certain restaurant. I come here because the service is great. Great. I come here because it's a product I haven't seen anywhere else. Also great. But you don't want your brand necessarily to revolve around just a product. But if people know that they're going to get good service, a good product, quality, at a great price, then your brand is going to be a heck of a lot more visible than just a logo on the wall. One thing they mentioned in there was the who, what, when, where, why. In all of your branding, people need to know what I call the three W's: who you are, where you are, and what you do. Okay? You can add the other two W's later, but those are the three in all of your branding that I think are most important and need to be as consistent as possible as you move down the road. Make sure that people know who you are, where you are, and what you do in all of your messaging. Be consistent with that. All right, we've talked about money. We've talked about brand identity. And I'm still getting text messages from people just a second ago about you make it sound easy to save money. Okay, let's dig down just a little bit deeper. So how about if I say I can help you save $100 a month without even trying? All right, I'm going to talk to you about what I call the most expensive lunch. And I'll get to that story in just a second. But if you want to save $100 a month, here's five ways to do it. And they don't hurt all that much. You're looking to save money, that's a good thing. Most likely for emergency savings, a big ticket purchase like a car, your next vacation. The next step is you have to make it happen. So here's five hacks you can use to make it happen and get you started. You can change the dollar amounts anyway. Any dollar amount I give you here, you can change to fit your budgeting. First, you want to develop savings habits. Now, establishing a habit of savings is key to reaching your financial goals. If a $100 single deposit per month is a challenge, start with saving just $25 a week. The first step is to make saving a priority. Use a savings account calculator to see how consistent deposits help you accumulate wealth, and you can find that with a simple Google search. Once you get comfortable putting $25 per week into your savings account, you can increase your deposits to reach your savings goals faster. pay the most important person first, and that's you. So do you want to save but find yourself short at the end of the month? Set up an automatic savings plan and pay yourself first. It follows the profit first methodology. An automatic savings plan is simple to set up and will transfer a fixed amount of money from your checking account into a savings account on a regular basis, whether you set that up as weekly, biweekly, monthly, etc. Your money will be stashed into your savings before you even start paying the rest of your expenses. Then make your money work harder for you. Where you put your hard-earned money counts. Not all banks and bank accounts are the same. Some offer low interest rates and charge high fees just for maintaining the account. A great option is to open a savings account at an online-only bank. Online banks typically have higher interest rates than the ones offered by traditional banks, so look for a high-yield, tiered-rate savings account that rewards monthly savers. And if you can save $100 or more in a single deposit every month, you will qualify for the account's highest interest rate tier. And also look for banks that have no account opening or maintenance fees, plus look for banks that compound interest daily so you can maximize your earning potential. Stop paying for things that you could do yourself. This is a tricky one, and I'm going to get into this in a little bit. Could you eat out less and make more home-cooked meals? Cut the lawn yourself instead of paying for a service? Do your own nails rather than go to a salon every week? While it makes sense to pay for some products and services, chances are there are some things you could be doing yourself. So look for one or two ways that you could cut back and then pay yourself what you would have paid by adding that cash you saved into your savings account. So calculate how much you spend on coffee and lunch every week, and now multiply that by 52, and that is what you can save at the end of the year. And finally, look for alternatives. Carefully examining your recurring monthly expenses and look for expensive or for less expensive options. Cutting the cable cord and switching to a streaming service could save you a big chunk of cash every month. Getting new quotes for auto, renter, and homeowners insurance could save hundreds or more in a year. You may be surprised at the big difference even small changes can make to your bottom line. Saving more doesn't have to mean making dramatic sacrifices and lifestyle changes. These strategies require minimal effort and put you in the driver's seat on your savings journey. If you're ready to start saving more, it's all up to you. When we come back, I'm going to give you a few examples of how you can save some of this money and then what that could add up to in the long run for you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Taking care of business.
you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the host of this program, as I have been for the last 8 years. Coming up on 8 years next week. Looking forward to celebrating that with you next Thursday. Following up on that last story about ways you could save money, $100 a month or more, I want to tell you two stories. The first is, if you, let's say, pay $50 a week to have your lawn cut, and they do it for 26 weeks, I think when I was doing the math in the car this morning, it was something like $1,500 a year. What, you know, if you had $1,500 in savings, great, put that away. But I wanted to tell you a story that happened, that really happened to me, and I finally had to put an end to it. So I used to work in an office, and every day my friends and I would go out to lunch. And we usually went to, I think it was The Office or Charlie Brown's, one of those. And on average, I was spending about $15 a day on lunch. And then when you have coffee in the morning or a bagel in the morning or something like that, let's say you're spending almost $20 a day. So if we keep it at 15, if you multiply 15 times 5, that's $75 per week that I was spending just on lunch. I called it the most expensive lunch. $75 times 52 weeks turned out to be $3,500 per year where I was going out to lunch. And sometimes maybe I paid for someone's lunch or something like that. Maybe I bought them breakfast. So all of that money was going away, $3,500 a year. And I realized what made it the most expensive lunch wasn't that I was spending money on food. It was the time lost. Get in the car, drive to the restaurant, order, eat, drive back, about an hour, hour and 15 minutes. What can I be doing during that time in the middle of the day that I wasn't doing? Well, now I was having a good time with my friends. I was enjoying lunch with some buddies, but I wasn't making any money doing it. I was never going to make any money by eating lunch with my friends, by playing the little trivia game near the bar. It made no sense. So I stopped going. And what did I do with that time? Well, another cost-saving measure was I started making my own lunches. Ham and cheese sandwich, tuna fish sandwich, peanut butter and jelly sandwich, didn't matter, a couple of chips or cookies. And now I was saving a lot of money on not going out to lunch every day. But after I ate my lunch, I was back on the phones, meeting with candidates, meeting with clients, researching new industries that we could branch into, new types of positions we could be recruiting for. And all of a sudden, my billings doubled and then tripled. And I had become, I set the record in the office for this. And it wasn't as a result of being lucky. It was the result of I put in an extra hour and 15 minutes every day that my colleagues didn't. And that works out to be about 6 hours per week. So that's where the success came from. And all those lunches I had had before, and all those good times I had before with my friends, and all those trivia contests that we won by having the little machines as we looked up at the television screen and answered trivia questions didn't make me a damn dollar. Sitting at my desk, eating my sandwich, interviewing candidates, talking with new clients, and researching new positions made me one of the top billers in the industry. That's why there's so much more here for you if you're willing to break some bad habits. So hopefully you'll be able to do that and make a difference. Again, you don't have to go out to lunch all the time. You can cut your own lawn. It's not that hard. You can paint your own nails instead of going to the salon. And you can make coffee at home. You don't have to go to Starbucks every single day of the week. These are some small changes that can add up to some big savings for you. Once you have that money, it doesn't go in your pocket. It goes in the bank. All right, let's talk about marketing your small business. There are lots of hot marketing terms like click funnels and A-B split testing and retargeting and all that. And these are all great and have their place if you have lots of extra time and money. But to me, there are four key strategies all small businesses should be focusing on. The first is blogging for SEO or search engine optimization and promote on your social channels. Now, by creating a regular blog post on your website with the intent of answering questions your customers may have, you will have an impact on improving your SEO. Plus, you can use these blogs as the FAQ section of your website. If you're not sure what questions your customers may have, you need to ask and request feedback from their experience with your business. Live video is huge when it comes to marketing your small business. It may be uncomfortable at first, but you need to accept where you are and own it. The best way to be successful with live videos is to be prepared. Have an outline, not a script, so that you can talk authentically on a topic and stay on track. Slow down when you talk, because there is a delay from when you speak to when your audience hears you. If you ask a question or want interaction with your fans, slow down, or you'll miss the opportunity to interact with your customers. Facebook or Instagram live videos do not need to be long, but talking slower and smiling when you do goes a long way. As soon as you complete your live video, download it so you can post it to YouTube. This is another huge search engine, probably the largest search engine for you to get your information out, so people find out what your business is all about. And a huge tool you have to market your business is with social media posts. Remember, this is all about social engagement. These posts must be more about than your sales and product offerings, as it needs to be all about what your customer needs or wants to hear about. Show a person's face with your product or have people give testimonials. Encourage your fans to be active and post with polls, questions, or contests. A great way to grow your fan base is to get creative in finding a way that would benefit people in sharing your business post to their personal pages. Further, post where your customers are located. And I've said this 1,000 times. You need to have your business on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube, or LinkedIn. So it's very simple to promote your business. And it doesn't have to always be salesy. Just tell stories about the business, about the people in the business. Live video, like you're watching here, a Facebook Live, is very simple to do. And all you have to do is walk around with your cell phone and maybe walk on the warehouse floor. Have people show how they build a particular product or how they assemble it or how they package it. A really cool video to watch, it's on YouTube, is tracking a UPS package. So it starts out with a camera mounted on a box, and they follow the box from when the driver picks it up, sitting in the truck, going to the sorting facility, getting on an airplane, flying across the country, getting back to another hub, getting put on a truck, and then being delivered to the house. And all the time, there's like a little clock in the corner explaining all of this, what's happening. But seeing that, to me, is very interesting. I love watching videos of when they show like an Amazon warehouse and all the robots doing the work. It's amazing. And you can usually learn something along the way as well. But it's amazing to see how other businesses do their work. That's why television shows like Undercover Boss are so successful. So don't be shy about looking up information. And if you're in the business, don't be shy about putting your mug out there and showing people exactly what you do. Maybe you feature a particular employee one week. Maybe you feature a product, a supplier, whatever it is. If it's something that you find will be interesting to your audience, and understand, behind the green curtain, everything is exciting and interesting to your audience. Make sure you're sharing that with them. In sports, in Major League Baseball, the playoffs have begun, with the Nationals taking a 1-0 lead in their National League Wild Card Series game against the Brewers. The Rays and Athletics played last night, with the Rays defeating the A's 5-1 to lead that series 1-0 in their American League Wild Card Series. In NASCAR news, the siren was wailing in Dawsonville, Georgia last week as Chase Elliott won the third race of the NASCAR Monster Energy Cup playoffs to advance to the round of 12. Not advancing were Ryan Newman, Kurt Busch, Eric Jones, and Eric Almirola. They were all knocked out of contention for the championship. This week, the teams head to the Monster Mile at Dover, Delaware for the Delaware 400 Sunday at 2:30 p.m. on NBC. In other NASCAR news, it was announced yesterday that Tyler Reddick will drive in the Monster Energy Cup Series next year full-time for Richard Childress Racing. In NCAA football, Alabama has replaced Clemson in the top spot of the AP Top 25 poll. They are followed by Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State, and LSU. Oklahoma, Auburn, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, and Florida round out the top 10. And the NHL regular season has begun. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well, when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better, and your better is best." If you have upcoming ideas for program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook on the show's page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Ganeau. I'm Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is now calling on China and Ukraine to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden and his son, Hunter.
Because nobody has any doubt that they weren't crooked. That was a crooked deal, 100%.
The president, speaking outside the White House before heading off to Florida, also says the Bidens have scammed other countries.
You may very well find that there are many other countries that they scam, just like they scammed China and Ukraine.
Victims of the Las Vegas shooting are about to get at least $735 million. Their attorneys say that's what MGM Resorts has agreed to pay, but it could go up to $800 million. The settlement comes just as the city marked the two-year anniversary this week of the shooting. 85 people were killed and hundreds more were hurt when a gunman opened fire at a country music festival from his room at the Mandalay Bay. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
This report is sponsored by the NICB. American property and casualty insurance companies are being robbed to the tune of $40 billion a year. According to the FBI, fraud is the culprit. And these criminals are not just stealing from insurers, they're stealing from everyday Americans. That is, until now. The nation's property and casualty insurers have made significant fraud-fighting investments within their companies, such as creating special investigative units. These units investigate suspicious insurance claims and work with law enforcement agencies and the National Insurance Crime Bureau, or NICB, to track down insurance criminals. NICB Public Affairs Director Frank Scafidi.
These criminals will stop at nothing to commit fraud, from staging auto accidents to roofing and towing scams, even workers' compensation slip and falls. Think of your family, your coworkers, your neighbors. All are potential victims. NICB works with special investigative units to keep you and the ones you love most safe.
Find out how you can protect yourself at NICB.org.
An early October heat wave appears to be finally coming to an end. With the details, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
Much of the eastern U.S. has been breaking high temperature records this week. This utility worker in Arkansas taking it all in stride.
Sometimes the summer does get extended. Not so much like this one. This one's been a little bit warmer than most.
The heat also caused schools in Columbus, Ohio to close earlier this week. Warnings about vaping from the Health and Human Services Secretary.
You do not know what toxins you are vaporizing and putting in your lungs. Listen, as a general health matter, don't put stuff in your lungs. It's not good for you.
HHS Secretary Alex Azar, now at least 17 people in the United States have died from severe lung illnesses linked to vaping. The CDC says there are more than 800 lung injury cases tied to vaping, although it's unclear how many of those are from vaping nicotine versus THC. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders is feeling great after heart surgery. That's at least what a campaign aide told the New York Times. Surgeons inserted two stents into one artery to relieve blockage of the senator's heart. Dr. Oz joins Fox News and goes a little bit more in depth on the procedure.
When you place a stent, it's because you've got a blockage in the middle of the heart. Imagine that vessel, that thing, that
red thing. The stuff on the bottom and the top.
Exactly. It's starting to get tighter and tighter and tighter. The blood's flowing to the left. Without that blood, you get chest pain, and eventually you can have a heart attack. The mesh is inserted in the middle of it. The mesh is expanded, and it crushes the plaque out of the way. It doesn't remove the plaque. It just pushes out of the way so the blood can now provide life-sustaining nourishment into the heart. Procedures are very quick. They're seamless. They're
it's very common.
Pretty common. And here's the elegant part about it. I'm, again, as a heart surgeon, historically, we would open up the chest.
Yeah.
You join the zipper club. We put the bypass grafts in. With a stent, you're back to your regular form in about a week.
Hackers are targeting three Alabama hospitals. With the details, here's USA Radio Network's Wendy King.
Three Alabama hospitals are being forced to turn away new and non-emergency patients after their systems were compromised by a ransomware attack. Police said the hackers hijacked access to the hospitals' computer networks, which kept them from admitting new patients. Ransomware attacks have targeted numerous cities, including Baltimore and Atlanta, over the past year. A few of the targeted cities have paid the ransom.